Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 6th of April. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. How good's that? Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our fresh water reporters check in. And as always, we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 16th of this month. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does that mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite, full moon, fisherman's folly. That's the 16th of April. The next meeting of the Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club is on Monday night, the 9th of April. They meet at the Panmure Yacht and Boating Club, Kings Road, Panmure, at 7:30 p.m. Now, it is free to attend and all are welcome. How good's that? Have a look at their website, afac.org.nz, AucklandFreshwaterAnglersClub.org.nz. Now, the culmination of this year's Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand calendar is the National Championships. The top 20 anglers from the regional champs held throughout the year are awarded a place in these championships. The scores to qualify are from the best lake fishing points and the best river fishing points combined to create a top 20. This year, anglers were to fish 4 river sessions as part of the River Nationals and 4 lake sessions as part of the Lake Nationals, 8 sessions in total. The events will crown both the National River Champion and the National Lake Fishing Champion. And at the end, the overall National Champion will be announced. Points from the National Championships are then combined together with the Regional Championship points to name the New Zealand National Fly Fishing Team for the year ahead. Now, the National River Championships were held 2 weeks ago, and the results. First, Corey Scott. Second, Dan Comer. And third, John Gummer. Congratulations to those anglers. Now, the National Lake Fishing Championships are being held this weekend, actually, on Lake Rotoira up on the Central Plateau. Now, we will, of course, have full results next week. And good luck to all those anglers competing this weekend. Now, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Right, so let's look at some weather with Met Service. The Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A ridge lies over the North Island through to Sunday. Then a strong southwest change moves up the country during Monday and Tuesday, followed by a ridge. The forecast for Manukau Harbour, Waitemata Harbour, the Hauraki Gulf, and the area from Bream Head to Cape Colville. Saturday. Southwest 15 knots, rising to 20 knots for a time in the afternoon and evening. Sea becoming moderate for a time in the afternoon and evening. Cloudy periods with fair visibility in a few showers in the evening. The Sunday forecast, southwest 15 knots, tending westerly 10 knots in the afternoon, mainly fine, chance of late showers in the west. and Manukau Harbour, Waitemata, Hauraki Gulf, Bream Head to Cape Colville for Monday. An early change to southwest 15 knots, gradually becoming northwest 20 knots. Cloudy periods, the odd shower. Now, Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Fine breaks and a brief period of afternoon showers, southwesterlies. Sunday in the Waikato, a fine day, westerly breezes. If you're fishing in the Rotorua region tomorrow, fine apart from isolated evening showers, southwesterly breezes. And Sunday in Rotorua, cloudy periods, isolated showers until early afternoon, then fine, light winds. Now, Taupo anglers, good evening to you. Forecast for tomorrow, fine apart from morning cloud and isolated afternoon showers, southwesterlies. Taupo on Sunday, cloudy periods, light winds. Up and over the hill into Taumarunui, Saturday forecast, a brief period of morning showers, then increasing fine breaks, light winds. Taumarunui on Sunday, cloudy periods, light winds. Now, for our South Island listeners in the Canterbury Plains, forecast for Saturday, cloudy with a few showers, clearing from the south during morning and becoming fine. Areas of cloud returning in the evening, southerlies dying out in the morning. Canterbury Plains on Sunday, fine with high cloud. Scattered rain spreading north during the evening, northerlies developing in the morning, changing southerly from the south in the evening. Overall, not too bad a forecast. Get out there, get amongst them. Now, let's look at some river levels. The Puni River is 23 kilometres south of Te Awamutu. It's currently at 7.9 metres. It's flowing at 5.6 cubic metres per second. It's in good condition. The next one over, the Mangatutu, is at 1 metre and holding. It's flowing at 1.1 cubic metres per second. It's low and clear. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangahaki between Pairua and Waihi, is 11.8 metres and falling. It's flowing at 3.4 cumecs. That's low and slow. Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.1 of a metre, very low. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 75.5 metres falling. It's flowing at 3.7 cubic metres per second, low and clear. The Whakapapa River is at 6.8 cumecs, and the Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 17.3 cubic metres per second. And the Tongariro, measured at Turangi, is at 24.5 cubic metres per second. All these rivers are in good condition. Enjoy the fishing, but be careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for that information. We do appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo Turangi area, and Stella is an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. As always, Stella is live on air with us now. Good evening, Stella.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. You're well down there?
Oh, we're great, thank you. No, it's just, yeah, we've had a couple of fantastic weeks, so very, very nice, actually. A little bit of breeze tonight, but, gosh, it's been great.
Okay, I'm just looking at your weather with Met Service. Tomorrow, 21 degrees, a little bit of cloud. It's pretty damn good, isn't it?
It is, and it's meant to be fairly settled until, I think, the earlier part of this coming week, which I think sounds like we're going to have a little bit of a southerly sweep, and that'll be interesting, although, you know, we've had a number of those. Even in the last couple of weeks, we've had a little bit of southerly, but honestly, it sounds like we're going to get a little bit of snow this time.
Oh,
maybe
it's
going to be a little change.
Is there snow in the forecast? Oh, I missed that. Oh, I didn't see that. No. Okay, but it's still warm enough during the days for you.
Absolutely amazing. Really, I mean, nighttime's been great as well. I mean, there's absolutely nothing we can complain about. We've had just no wind, really. It's a little bit this evening, but honestly, we've had, that's usually just, you know, that night change of light. You might have a little bit of wind for an hour or so, and then, of course, it just eases off. But, no, it's generally speaking, it's been fantastic, really.
Okay.
Really fantastic.
Now, let's talk about the big lake. Is the level still high, and is the water still warm?
The water's still warm.
Okay.
It's certainly, actually, over east, it was probably warmer than times that we swam through the summer months. But we've had a very settled period of time with very little wind, so therefore being such a massive lake and with that good, you know, sunshine over that period of time and no washing machine effect, the temperature has stayed fairly stable.
Good.
And, yes, no, it's been good.
Okay, what's the fishing like on the lakes?
Fishing on the lake has been spasmodic, so it's been on and off. We have had, obviously, we had that period right through the summer months, until probably 2 or 3 weeks, probably a couple of weeks ago, where fishing was absolutely superb and you just simply could not catch a fish. Certainly, conditions have changed a little as the water temperature has warmed, as those fish have moved a bit deeper, and as other people have gone off the lake, so and back to work. But so really this past weekend, which was Easter, was probably the telling point of what the conditions were, because there were just so many. And I mean, I don't think I have ever, in my years of living here, ever seen so many boats on the lake.
Really?
So for those that actually are well-versed in fishing the lake, they did relatively well with a mixed bag. Nothing spectacular, but certainly some well-conditioned but perhaps slightly smaller fish with a few mending fish, which you would expect to be showing up at the present moment in time, and others found exceedingly difficult. And I think that was probably just a perception thing whereby one was not perhaps necessarily familiar with, you know, depth. So therefore, as we all well know, that the fish are deep, 35 to 40 metres. And so if you were fishing a little bit above that or well above that, you would find that it was quite difficult. But no, generally speaking, if you think about, I mean, we're talking about the lake as a whole, the fishing was fairly consistent, but probably harder than what people have expected or experienced over Christmas.
Okay, was there a particular...
Which is to be expected.
Yeah, that's right. Was there a particular fly working or a lure?
Nothing really. I mean, it didn't really matter. Those that were jigging were getting fish. It's often those that follow their noses and know where the fish are, so they won't necessarily fish the same spot. They'll fish until such time as they find a depth where those fish are holding, and that's the nature of the beast. There are others that were trolling, and with obviously 10 to 20 colours, you really, you know, you're limited to what depth you can actually physically fish to. And there's others that were actually fishing first thing in the morning and also later in the evening across the deeper water where it was a little cooler, harling with the odd fish still popping up. But relatively speaking, for those that were out there, and those that are using downriggers were certainly getting fish as well. I mean, Pete had 4 or 5 days. 10 days ago, they fished the western side of the lake. There was a lot of wind, so therefore they were really restricted in where they could fish. But, you know, inside the probably 300 or 400 metre mark, the conditions were actually okay, even right up underneath the cliffs. And they got some beautiful fish. Probably not as large as we have over the summer months, but generally speaking, those fish, they were superb, so you can't really complain. So once again, often it's a matter of just fishing 4 or 5 little posies until such time as you hit a pod and find out. And just, you know, it's just reading the conditions and just fishing until you find where those fish are holding. And often with the wind changing through the period of the day too, sometimes they'll move quite remarkable distances and you need to follow them.
Okay. Now, that's interesting to say that, because the fly fishing tip of the week, which I do at the end of the show, is this. One of the best pieces of fishing advice is to continuously change your location your presentation and your depth until you begin catching fish. Mix it up until it works.
That's true. And I mean, it's just the same as where you use, you know, if you're nymphing, if you're wetlining, or if you are perhaps using a dry with a dropper. I mean, I think I probably regaled my story about being on the Hinnimaya in the winter months using a dry with a dropper. And an angler who came very politely up to me and said to me, "Excuse me, dear, but, you know, you usually use a dry in the summertime." And, of course, I just continued on fishing my dry as I normally did. I didn't say anything, there was no need to. But in reality, I don't think anything's orthodox. I've just talked to an angler who hasn't been here for 10 years. He's here, he's going to fish Kiritau and the Omori over the other side of the lake. Oh, and he said, "What's different?" Well, nothing is different. Really, in reality, the only difference is that this year you've got a higher lake level, so therefore your rips are harder to define. And so therefore it's just a matter of, you know, throwing a piece of pumice out, seeing where it goes, fishing on the inside arc. We've had very, very little wind, so therefore he won't have a lot to contend with. You know, but it's just a matter of fishing and, you know, walking your little beat until such time, as you said before, changing position until you actually find those fish. So, and that is the case.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, very good. Now, let's talk about the rivers. What's happened to the rivers? How are they looking at the moment?
Rivers are all fairly static, as you can well imagine, because the lake level's high still, and I mean significantly. And even though we've had quite a strong period where we've had, you know, lots of sunshine, we've certainly still had nights where we've had tremendous amounts of rain. So in a very short period of time since I've spoken to you, we've had three or four nights where we've had 40 mils, which is a significant amount of rain that's fallen in a very short period of time. So our water table, our river levels and our lake level are still high. So therefore, if you look at all the rivers, if you're driving over them, you'd think, you look at them and you think to yourself, my God, they're actually enormous in comparison to what you'd normally expect for this time of the year. And that's probably quite true. But what you do see is driving over the river bridges is in actual fact lake level, because lake level travels quite a reasonable distance or provides a significant amount of volume, as you can well imagine. It's like, you know, it backs up. If you were to dig a little stream and the water comes in, it physically moves in, holds and drops away. So all the rivers have got volume. As a result of that, it means that traditionally you would expect perhaps those fish to be holding. There are certainly fish in all the rivers, but fishing has been really quite tough. And we haven't really had any significant numbers of drops in barometric pressure. We've had nights which have been cooler through the Easter period. We had Monday night, we actually lit the fire. It was freezing, but that was an easterly, and that's the nature of the beast. So therefore, with those occasions where we've had that, you know, heavy rain, you've tended to find what has happened is obviously everything is washed into the river again, everything's been washed out of the river again, there's a lot of debris, you have colour for two or three days, and once that colour drops out of the river, you'd expect perhaps those fish to move in. But simply, there haven't been significant numbers of fish moving because obviously there's no rhyme or reason for them. There's not a lot of food source. The water temperature is not significantly cool enough, and we haven't had a real drop in bottom pressure to encourage or trigger those fish in. But in saying that, the lower reaches of all the rivers have had reasonable numbers of fish. I wouldn't say there's lots of fresh fish. There is the odd fish and, you know, certainly reasonable numbers of browns. In fact, you know, if you actually go with your Polaroids and have a look, there are a lot of fish that are holding, but they certainly are not accommodating when it comes to actually feeding and physically hooking them. But that's the way it is at this time of the year.
Okay, that's interesting. So, because someone was telling me midweek, Tuesday or Wednesday I was somewhere, that they say that in the Tongariro, a lot of rainbows are gone, but there's plenty of browns around.
There are. I think, you know, because of the fact that we've had for the last 14 to 16 months, we've had a tremendous amount of rain. So therefore, all the rivers have had volume. This time of the year, you probably, by now, would have had two or three southerlies, which would bring those rainbows in. But I actually think one lesson I learned, which would be now 20 years ago, really, when we had our biggest flood through the Tauranga Taupo, and we were in those days what you call volunteers for DOC. And so, therefore, we felt it was our duty to you know, turn up and see what we could do, if we could do anything to rescue the fish that had actually physically been washed out of the river, because they had. I mean, we had such a massive fresh that they were running down the road, Singapore Road across the road here. They were running in the paddock across the road here in the natural waterway, which was once upon a time a natural waterway which wandered out into the lake. So we we went with our gear to pick up those fish, and you know what? 99.9% of those fish were browns. Now, if you were to say to someone that 99.9% of the fish that were in the PT were browns, they'd look at you as if you were absolutely mad. And also, for many, many, many years, very few people fished the browns in the lower reaches here, and very few people caught browns. You know, I think the habitat changes. I think, you know, as I've often said, you probably have 14 and 21 year periods of weather patterns. And that has, I mean, and so we are still learning so much about this fishery. We've got, you know, the advent of the Japanese car when everyone all of a sudden got another car, which meant that we were able to actually recreate and be out every second weekend, which we never ever used to be. I'm talking about 25 years or so. But in that, we've learnt so much where we had presumption. You know, in those early days, when we first came here, Pete and I, the dairy farmers used to come here usually mid-April, and by the 1st of September, they'd bring the caravans, they'd park the caravans at the caravan park, they would fish that middle period, and then they'd be gone. You'd never see them. You'd never, ever see them. As far as they were concerned, there were no fish moving. Mm. Well, what we do know is that, in actual fact, the fish spawn 365 days a year. I mean, what is the perception? Is the perception of the anglers. The angler has a perception that they believe that they know. It's not until you've actually spent so much time on the water and a few years and your teeth, you know what I mean? In reality, we're learning every single time we go fishing. So, you know, the fact is that at the present point in time, there are significant numbers of browns that are holding the rivers. It's probably because there's greater volume, more so than ever before. Okay. They would have normally perhaps hung outside the mouths and come in and out to feed. But, you know, in reality, it may be that is the case. The lake level's high. Those, you know, there is volume, there's food source, and so therefore the conditions are ideal for browns to be there.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
But, you know, in saying that, you know, the TT, I can remember many years ago, a customer of ours who caught a brown in the Rangers pool, and then also caught one in the Cliff pool, and it was almost amazing. We just couldn't believe that there were browns that would be that far up at the river, and that was in the middle of the winter. So, you know, we just don't necessarily target. They feed differently, they hold differently, you know, all those sorts of things. It's a learning curve.
It is, and it changes all the time. That's the good thing about fishing.
Well, it's actually, you know, I mean, I don't know that historically, you know, the habitat and all those sorts of things are very similar. It's just that there are so many other facets that actually interfere or determine what is going to happen on a yearly basis. So therefore, if you think that for the last 2 years we've had inherently high river levels, we've had huge volumes of water, we've had very little wind, we've had a massive amount of food source, we've had all sorts of different aspects. We've had more fishermen on the water than we had for a long time, because naturally we've found that there are more fish in the river in better conditions. So, you know, and it goes on and it goes on. So therefore we've had years where we've had very few anglers, because the perception is that the fishing is not good. But in actual fact, as I always say, it's a matter of fishing to the conditions that prevail on the day. So therefore, if you're not prepared to adapt, as you said, location, moving, changing the length of your leader if that's what you want to do, although I always change the my weighted nymph rather than the length of the leader, because I believe that's much easier to do that. And, you know, just changing your methods and actually thinking about what you're doing means that you have it's a learning process, and so therefore you often happen across something which means that forever it changes your perception of fishing a certain part of the river or a certain method or whatever. And it's not necessarily orthodox that you should do this or you should do that, shouldn't do this. It's like me when I was fishing in the middle of the winter, you know, September, with my dry and my dropper. I fish because I know that there is no point in me fishing with a nymph, because I want to fish through the lies. I can't fish because it's so debris-ridden with a nymph and hope that I'm going to have a fish on the end, because in reality, I would use 20 or 30 or 40 flies. There's absolutely no point. So the only way is to presume that the fish will come to me, and by doing that, it is just a matter of using a relatively long leader, using a dry with a dropper below it, and fishing through that water, which and hoping that those fish will rise to the nymph or the glow bug that you use. Yeah. And it works.
I understand, and you don't lose a lot of gear either.
No, you don't, and it's not about losing gear. It's about actually enticement. All I want is to be able to fish to the fish that are holding. You know, when you really, when you think about it, the riparian vegetation that's right down to the edge in the Waitanui and the Hanimaia, in reality, you would think by rights that there would be significantly greater spawning and more successful spawning because of the fact is that really, in actual fact, the anglers don't have the opportunity to fish to those fish.
I understand.
Because simply, those fish are spawning unimpeded and surviving because they aren't, you aren't actually removing them. So right. It's not sort of natural selection. Whereas in a lot of the other rivers where you've got much more open water, long lies, you know, and it's much easier to fish. So therefore, you are able to actually fish to those fish. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Now, summer's officially finished. Can you tell us, what was your opinion of the summer fishing Taupo Tūrangi area compared to previous years? How would you
probably imagine? The best for 20 years. There is no doubt about that. And I think what we probably know now is that having obviously a water table that is higher than normal, having volume obviously allows fish with the conditions that we have to hold in the rivers and around the river mouths. And as for the lake itself, there has just been such a phenomenal amount of food source. If you think of every fresh, you know, I mean, every time you have a fresh through the Waimarino, Waitaka and Taurangtaupo, which is fed by the Kaimana catchment, obviously a lot of debris gets washed out into the lake and it re-establishes itself as time goes on. But having that volume allows, and having that rain means that there's so much food source that is constantly being provided. You know, the fact that the temperatures have probably been particularly mild means you've got, you know, if you look at the life cycle and food cycle in the lake with the cyclopectin and all those sorts of things, allowing the smolt to manifest and all those sorts of things. If you look at the Waipakihi, which feeds, you know, the Tongariro, if you think about the fact that we didn't have a very cold winter, we didn't have a lot of snow, not that we have snow melt that really has any effect, but in actual fact it means that you have a tremendous amount of insect and food life. So if you think of the entomology associated with the fishery, we've had a huge period where you only have to look at, I mean, just from our own perception, flies, for example. You know, if you think of flies this summer. So, I mean, really, in reality, and then you look at the lake, because the lake level's been high, it's allowed people to fish, you know, comfortably inside the 200-metre mark prior to Christmas, when the water temperatures were a little bit cooler and those fish were in feeding on the smelt. And we've had so little wind, so normally, last year, if you think about it, and I know from our petrol sales, if you have a very windy summer, I mean, you obviously have people travelling on the road and all those sorts of things, which is natural, but in reality, if you have a very windless summer, you have everyone taking advantage of being able to fish on the lake. And so we've had 14 or 16 months of very little wind, plenty of rain, lots of food source, unbelievable conditions, which has allowed the fish to harbour and grow, and yeah, it's been great.
It's been fantastic. Yeah,
we have been very fortunate. I mean, on the other end of the scale, it's really interesting. Similarly, I've talked to some people who fish Lake Rotuaira on a regular basis, you know, and who've logged significant amount of information over a very long period of time. And you know, if you think of the 90s and even prior to that, some of those fish there were significantly larger than they are today. But in reality, if you look at climatic conditions and that has actually affected that lake, in reality we've had periods exactly the same as the lake here, which have been very comfortable for the fish, so therefore the food source has been amazing and the natural attrition has been much less, so therefore if you think about the number of fish, but in those early years when you had fewer fish they were large in size, and now of course you've got significant numbers of fish which aren't being harvested by large numbers of people as they are in this lake here. And so therefore the fish size has dropped. So the fish size may have dropped, but the condition of those fish has still been maintained, and they are still in prime condition. So it is very interesting, isn't it? So, you know, they said, well, what do we need to do? And it's a selection process, isn't it? You have to remove to have a collective whereby you have a larger... It's the same as farming. It's no different. It's the same with forestry. It's the same with everything. Selectively taking a percentage out will always allow those that are left to grow larger.
Yeah, you've got to thin them out at some stage. Thank you, Stella. That's an excellent catch-up of fishing and the state of your region there. Thank you. Now, your contact details, please, Stella.
07-3868-953, and we're open 7 days, 7 to 7, more than happy. If anyone needs a hand or help, just please either ring or call.
All right, there you go. There's the offer anglers, Stella Gordon, the store, Tauranga Eater, right by the banks of the Tauranga Taupo River. Give Stella a ring on 07-386-8953. Lovely. Thanks for the catch-up,
Have a wonderful
Stella.
Weekend and look after yourself.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Stella.
Bye.
Stella Gordon, there you go. Okay, a quick break and then more fishing stuff.
Breath and out of time, with feet in the grind. You spend your weekend in a line, just freaking crying. Come on and take a little ride. We'll reach for the sky. Goodbye with reason to start. So don't you know Bobby, you're the reason. Don't you know
you're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Martin Langs, he's an interesting character. Martin is based in the South Island. And he has many years' experience as a fisherman, a fly tyer, a casting instructor and a fishing guide. Now, Martin's aim when he's fishing with a client is to be innovative, informative, friendly and professional. And that's obviously why we give him a ring. And we love to talk to Martin in South Island. Good evening, Martin.
Hello, Colin. Always nice to talk to you too.
Thank you. You're well?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay. Let's have a roundup of the fishing. What's happening? Now, the big thing, I suppose, is the end of this month, a lot of rivers and lakes close.
Yeah, for sure. Look, here we go. What are we now? We're April 5 or 6 today. So, yeah. Primarily just, 3 weeks left of the main season. So, time to get into it and get out and enjoy yourself. We've had some quite nice weather here. It's sort of, today was a little bit blustery, but aside from that, we've had quite a bit of stable weather. We haven't had any really heavy rainfall events or anything like that. So, look, autumn, a really, really good time to get out and fish.
Okay. Mm. Where's the place to go and what sort of fly am I?
Yeah, sure, where's the place to go? Look, it's always an interesting one when you ask that. Look, it's all pretty well systems go, really, throughout, most of the South Island. Mm-hmm. All the East Coast rivers in Canterbury, Otago and Southland, they're all fishing pretty well. At times, there's quite a few mayfly hatches happening if you're lucky enough to be there at the right time. And, if anglers are involved in those mayfly hatches, more and more people are finding smaller dry flies are really working well. It becomes quite imperative at this time of year to have size 16 dry flies and nymphs. So, some nice mayfly hatches. A lot of really big fish, in the headwater rivers, the Lewis Pass, all the way through Canterbury, Otago, Nelson region, West Coast region. It's that time of year in the South Island, Colin, a lot of the fish, the browns especially, don't spawn until May, June, July.
Okay.
More June, July than May. But they're just starting to, as we get little freshers and flow increases, they're starting to run up the rivers a little bit. So it's a really, really good time of year. Like, it's what I call the wild card time of year. Some of the browns you just don't see all year start to turn up.
Okay. Now, you get a lot of overseas anglers this time of the year?
Reasonable. It's quietening off. As we talked earlier in the season, it was a pretty massive year, I think, for tourism full stop and for for visiting anglers.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of tapering off.
Okay.
Tapering off, which is nice. So, a lot of opportunity in the South Island. The salmon are running, not in great numbers this year, but they're there to be had. The lakes, certainly worth a sort of bit of a go. It's really all systems go.
Okay, and you've got about, 3 weeks to get amongst
three
them
weeks
now.
To go for the main season. As we go further, we can talk more about some winter fishing options. Yep. But, 3 weeks to go, and, I'm going to have to say, as I stand here, it may change as the weather changes over the weekend, but 90% of the rivers and lakes are in really optimal condition.
Okay, let's take advantage of them. Now, I want to talk about willow trees and aphids.
Yeah, willow trees and aphids. Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, what I've noticed more and more, and it's not new, it's been here for about 2 or 3 years, but it's just that time, isn't it, for sort of biosecurity and biodiversity, pests and the like. I know, just on the news tonight, they reported that myrtle rust has been found on the South Island and Golden Bay.
Yes.
What the willows have got is a really interesting pest. I don't really know a lot about the biology of it, but it's called a giant willow aphid. And all season as I've been guiding, every willow tree I see has them down here, no matter whether I'm in Otago, South Canterbury, North Canterbury. Just a really big pest. Its effect on the willow trees is sort of yet to be found out, but it's certainly sort of changing the face of the ecology. What they're doing is they're feeding on the sap in the willow trees, and for that, a lot of the sap falls, and it's attracting a lot of wasps. So, just a really interesting biological, ecological change happening in the willow trees in the South Island in the North Island. I've put a post on Facebook and I noticed the guys, all the way through Wairarapa, I think you've got them as well.
Okay. Now, do the aphids get blown or fall into the river, to the trout?
Yeah, they do to a degree. Yeah, some people have commented on that for sure. Yeah, they do. They do. I haven't really had much to do with that, but I think they do. So, look, it's pretty here. Obviously, a new trout food there too.
Okay. Have you got a fly to match?
No, not yet. But, call back in a couple of weeks' time and maybe we have. But they're a funny little thing. They're about 3 or 4 millimetres long, a very sort of slate grey type colour. Fish definitely feed on them, but I haven't really been too involved. Also, Colin, it'll be really interesting to see whether they affect the willow grub population, which I think they will potentially do.
They could possibly start eating. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not.
So it's all pretty new. I know that it's not just limited to willows. This particular aphid really likes willow trees and poplar trees. Okay. I guess in context of South Island, and I think a lot of the North Island too, from my limited knowledge, the key player here is, the willows are a really big part of, a lot of the riverbeds, holding the riverbeds together,
yes,
particularly on the plains, particularly on Canterbury Plains, Southland, and all the way through. So, it'll be interesting to see what it does to the willows long-term, whether it affects them, kills them, or knocks them back.
Okay. In the Auckland-Waikato region, late last year, they approved a big budget to get rid of willows in the Puni River, Mangatuta, all around there, the central Waikato type of stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how it affects the river, because it loses they provide shade and places.
Yeah, look, they sure do. Look, it's an interesting one, that, because I know, Colin, down here, Department of Conservation have removed a lot of willows from some of our, the Ashburton Lakes and the Hacker Tree Conservation Area. They've removed all the willows from the Maori Lakes, Lake Heron and the like. And, it's pros and cons, really. I mean, I get the whole native movement, but at the same time, those willows definitely, provide a lot of shade. They provide a lot of cover. They provide a sort of environment for birds, at the same time as they do take up a lot of water themselves. So I sit on the fence on that one. I see a lot of willow clearing, and all I would say is it could probably be done more sensitively, where they actually leave some willows, maybe leave one per 15 willow trees.
Yes.
But, of course, then you're starting the whole problem of propagation of willows. So, I get the dilemma. But, they have done it here on some of the lakes, and, it definitely takes a lot of cover. I mean, trout need a bit of shade and the like, for sure.
And
not just trout. There's even birds like crested grebes that'll often nest around the base of them in lakes and stuff.
Yeah, and if you take the willows out, sometimes you get things like bloody blackberry.
Oh, you do, So it's interesting. I know Australia's done the same. They've had a lot of willow removal. I don't like it. I personally don't like willow removal. In balance, I can see the magic of them, really. They really hold banks together really well. They're good erosion stoppers. They're good flood stoppers. So, they have a lot of positives.
Yeah. If you get too much blackberry and you can't actually access
it. Yeah, it always gets a bit hard, doesn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, pros and cons, as you said. Now, summer's finished. We're into autumn. How would you describe the summer fishing down your way?
Yep.
I've just been talking to Stella and Tūrangi, Stella Gordon.
Yep.
She said the summer fishing's been the best for 20 years.
Yep. Yeah, look, so how could I describe the summer fishing? Yeah, look, it's interesting Stella says that because I'm going to have to say a wee bit the same, actually.
Okay.
Whilst it's been quite difficult, and we in the South Island have had a lot of up-and-down weather, all I can categorically say in a substantiated way is my results have got better and better.
Okay, yes.
There's been phenomenal conditioned fish. I've had a lot of good-sized fish. You know, it hasn't really been easy, but the rewards have been there. So it was a really good summer. I mean, I think for the South Island, heaven came when it started to rain. Before Christmas, we were heading headlong into just the most wicked dry spell that, you know, just horrendous.
Yes.
And that broke. So, yeah, we had lots of rain, which has helped fisheries no end. Certainly not a lot of numbers. Maybe we don't have fisheries where you can go out and catch 20 fish in this, that I deal with. A nice day might be a sort of 3 to 5, 6 fish day down here.
Okay.
But yes, some superb quality, superb angling.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with it. I think, and just even the last couple of weeks, as I say, the autumnal things really come on, and a lot of the rivers I'm going to, I'm seeing schools of small fish, little wee sort of half-pounders. So, you know, I think the future bodes well. We've had more water than we need maybe this summer, and I think that's helped.
Okay. Get out there and get amongst them.
Absolutely. Yeah, salmon's all go, lakes all go, rivers all go. You get out the last 3 weeks. It's a superb time of year to fish down here. We've had some beautiful days this week, and, you know, the colours and the willows and the poplars and just, those wild cards turning up, you know, those bigger fish coming off. Yeah, moving up the systems.
Excellent. Now, we've got 30 seconds to go. Can you tell us your contact details,
sure,
please?
Sure, www.troutlands.com, or you can put Martin Langlands, L-A-N-G-L-A-N-D-S, into Google, and you can find me from there.
All right, there's Martin Langlands. Have a look at troutlands.com, his website, or Martin Langlands on Facebook. He's got all his photos and fishing. That's what he does, fishing. Martin, we do appreciate it. Thank you
very much, Colin. Look, and thank you very much for what you do. This is a great radio show, and I know, you know, the listeners I share it with really enjoy it.
All right. Thank you, Martin. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
See ya. Okay, Martin Langlands. Have a look at troutlands.com or Martin Langlands on Facebook. Thank you. Okay, we're just coming up towards the end of the show. Let's have a look. Yes. So we'll talk about the fly fishing tip of the week, which we briefly mentioned when we were talking to Stella and Tūrangi. The fly fishing tip of the week. One of the best pieces of fishing advice is to continuously change your location, your presentation, and your depth until you begin catching fish. In other words, mix it up until it works. Now, the Hooked on Fly Fishing show is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight line.